I hope you're having fun in the journey. You're making the most of every opportunity. You know, God wants his people to be joyful. And I know there are seasons where, you know, in life, but God has promised to give us beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, you know. So we need to look beyond and past what we see in the present, even what we're hearing. Because what we need to be doing is listening to the voice of God in the midst of this. Because there are a lot of voices right now that are trying to tell us this and tell us that. So we're seeking the truth. Lord, reveal to us what is true. Lead us in your paths. Guys, I am very optimistic about our nation. I'm very optimistic about what God is going to do. I believe that God is getting ready to do something phenomenal in America. I believe that there is going to be a great awakening in this nation. I believe as we continue to sow and water and believe in faith, not to grow weary, all right, in well-doing, but in due season, Galatians 6:9, we shall reap. So we keep the momentum in the Holy Spirit, amen. Keep on praying, keep on sowing, keep on watering, keep on reaching out, being salt, being influencers, right? Being light in this world. Keep your hand to the plow and don't look back. We've set our hand. We're going, we're marching to Zion, amen, the beautiful city of God. But we need to understand that sometimes we're going to be offered something that appears to be bitter in the natural. Okay, but what we need to do is lift up our eyes and look beyond the bitter pool of Marah. Remember a few weeks ago? And we need to see the oasis called Elam that God has provided for us up ahead. So, guys, no matter what things look like, understand we're on a journey, we're progressing, we're moving forward. And so we need to look beyond the moment, look beyond where we're at now and see the promise of God. See that there is an oasis up ahead. And don't give up. The devil wants to steal your joy. He wants to rob you of your confident assurance, your faith. And he wants to get you down in the dumps. And he wants you to get into his frequency, which is negativity. God, amen, has been speaking to us, is speaking to us. This is our time to shine. Many people right now are confused. They're angry. They're upset. They're worried about things. But guys, worry is illegal for God's people. If you find yourself worrying, know that's not from the Lord, and you need to take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Our confidence, our assurance, our hope is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. Not the politicians, guys, but God is on the throne. Hallelujah. And God will have his way in the earth. God will be glorified in all the earth. We're connecting to Jesus. We put our hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Amen. And we're walking this journey together with Jesus. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And remember, Israel had to go through the sea. Amen. And I believe that's where we're at right now. And God said, when you walk through the waters, I would be with you. Amen. Well, Israel had to walk through the waters, didn't they? But he said they wouldn't overflow them. So you understand that God's grace is sufficient for us. His power is available to us. Amen. We are overcomers because the overcomer is in us. And our confidence is in not in what we see and what we hear, but what we hear from God. Amen. His truth, his word. The devil wants us to believe the lie. Mm-hmm. You remember when Jesus was before Pilate? He told Pilate, he says, you would have no power over me at all, no authority over me at all, except it were given to you from above. You understand? God's in control here, guys. Amen. God's doing something. God is waking up the church. Yeah, we need to. We've been complacent, been in apathy. God's saying it's time to wake up. And if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and what? Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. God wants to heal America. God wants to restore America. God wants to bring justice to America. And so we need to be in agreement with heaven, with what God wants to accomplish, and pray and not give up and not become weary in that. We've got already, there are many things in the Holy Spirit, amen, that are in motion right now in the spirit realm that have already been in process here, and we need to continue to pray through. Amen? Until we see the victory. For the sake of our children, and even our children's children, if you have them. Or children's children's children. But guys, don't worry about stuff. Don't be in fear. That's the bait. That's what Satan's offering people. And why? Because through fear, he can control and manipulate what people do. You know, we need to fear God, not man. We bow down to him, amen, and not to man. We respect all authority, all God-given authority, all earthly authority, but authority, good authority, legitimate authority is there for the good of the people, if you read it in Romans 13. Not for the evil of the people, not to hurt the people, but to do good for the people. And it's illegitimate authority whenever that authority tries to undermine the will or the word of God. So we're going to bow to the Lord, amen? And we're going to stand in the days ahead. We're going to say, let God be true and every man a liar. We're not receiving your report. I'm not receiving no dark winter. We got the light of Christ in us, amen? We are to be the light in this dark time. But it doesn't have to be ours. We don't have to receive that. It's like pronouncing a curse on somebody. So we're going to bless. We're going to encourage, not discourage. We're going to speak the truth in love. Let God be true. So the title of today's message, I knew I'd get to it eventually, is where do we go from here? What now? Where do we go from here? Well, I'm going to answer that question, and then we're going to have a closing hymn. We keep moving forward with our mission. We keep pressing on. We keep looking forward. Come on. You set your hand to the plow to join, to partner with Jesus. Amen? Don't let anybody talk you out of your purpose, your destiny, your God-given, amen, responsibility. The devil wants us fixated on the things that he's doing right now. And he wants to distract us and get us off of our mission. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because these things can consume our minds. We have to resist that. We have to overcome that. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 4 says, he who observes the wind, what? Will not sow. And he who regards the clouds will not reap. You know, it's interesting. If you look at that in context, it's just kind of like, it's like it got dropped into a place where it almost doesn't fit. But this is profound because it's very true that if we are preoccupied with the way things appear, then we're not going to do what we should do when we have opportunity. Don't allow the wind to stop you from sowing your seed. Don't allow the distractions of the enemy to stop you from your mission. And don't allow the clouds, amen, to stop you from reaping. Guys, that means that there is a time and a season for everything, and that we need to be sowing and watering now in the season of sowing and watering. And God is the one who brings in the harvest. And so we need to continue to sow and water in faith and confidence that what we have invested, what we have given ourselves to do in agreement with what God wants, in due season, in the season God has appointed, it will return to us. Amen. His word will accomplish what he has set it forth to do, and it will not return void. Because God's word is living, it's powerful. Amen. It's life-changing. And so we be faithful to sow, to love, to pray, to serve, to bless, to instruct. Amen? But we must not allow those things to deter us from our mission and our purpose. In Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, most of us can quote this from memory, but this is the commission that Jesus gave to us, to his disciples, and to us, to go and what? Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, what are our marching orders? Make disciples. Reach the lost. Teach them. Amen. Baptize in his name. And reproduce. As God has reached out to us with his grace, as God has saved us, now we likewise go, amen, and be an extension of his love in the world around us with the same message that we heard, received, and were born again through. Amen. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of the cross. For God so loved the world. Many people right now are in confusion. They're in fear. And they're reaching out. They're beginning to, especially right now, reaching out for answers. Does anybody know what's true? What can I believe? Well, we have a sure word of prophecy, don't we? We have the word of God. We have the Bible, amen? God has already told us what is true through his word. And it's the Spirit of the Lord that confirms his word that this is true. People need the Lord. That's what the world needs, amen? We don't need another politician telling us what to think and what to do and how to spend our money. We need Jesus. People need the Lord. The Lord is trying to get his people's attention. Why? Because we are the apple of his eye. The Lord is looking at his bride. He's looking at his people. He's anticipating the day when he gets the word, amen, from the Father to go get his people, his bride. That's you and I in Christ. And so while we wait for the Lord's return, we are to be about his business, sowing, amen, and watering. We are to take that which God has invested in us and invested in others. The gifts of God, amen, are not just for us, they're for somebody else. And so we need to join ourselves to the Lord and to his mission. And just like I've said many times before, you got to be careful of just sitting in the kennel and swatting the fleas because they'll irritate you. But when you're on a mission, when you're focused, when you're living in agreement with God's purpose for your life, when you're doing what God has told you to do, you're not so preoccupied with all the unnecessary things that are trying to get your attention. When we live for the Lord, we're thinking about him. We're looking to him. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who's waiting at the end. He's the one that's encouraging us and saying, you go. Amen? I'm with you. I've got your back. I've commissioned you. I've authorized you. And I will back up my word. Just go and be faithful to sow the seed I give you. Tell others. Share with others what God has done for you. When you learn something, find somebody to share it with, guys. What you give, you don't lose in the Lord. You want to keep a word? Start sharing it with somebody else. That's how it works. We need to keep pressing on. Philippians 3:13, very familiar, but listen. No, dear brothers and sisters, Paul said, the great apostle Paul, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. And I think it'd be good of us to do the same thing. Focus on this one thing. Hear it. Forgetting the past and what? Looking forward to what lies ahead. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Do you want to overcome the world? Look forward. Look beyond. Look to see what God is doing, where God is leading. Where God guides, amen, He provides. He makes a way where there didn't seem to be any way. When you're in the will of God, God will take care of you in His will. Paul, he sees himself as a runner, you know, in a race. And his goal was to finish the race, right? His goal was to complete his God-given assignment within the allotted time God had given him. And he says that there's going to be a heavenly prize in verse 14, for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. What was that prize? Well, as he said in another place, it was the crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. And now he says the prize awaits me at the end of his journey, at the end of his life. He could say that I have kept the faith. You see, some people begin, but they don't finish. We want to be of those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises of God. Paul was faithful to his assignment, to his mission. He would not be detoured or distracted from his God-given purpose. And so he was able to say, when he, at the end of his life, that I have kept the faith. I fought the good fight. He says, the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, listen, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. What was Paul saying? He said he knew that in order for him to accomplish his mission, he had to, listen, look forward. He had to see beyond the momentary light affliction. He had to look beyond. This is a man that was shipwrecked, you know, a day and a night in the deep. He was stoned. He was flogged. You name it. This guy was a mess. But he did it out of love and out of devotion to Jesus. But he would not be detoured. Even when man tried to stop him, they could not stop him because he was on a mission and God had his back. Even though he suffered, he knew that God one day would reward him for his faithfulness. And the Bible says that if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. We've got to be able to see through the moment, see past the temporary, and where we're at right now, and know that God has something up ahead that is far greater than what we're seeing right now. A lot of the things that we may have found joy and contentment in are not there now. A lot of the temporary things are not there now. The things that you used to enjoy doing, sometimes all of a sudden it's like you don't find any joy in that anymore. You don't find any satisfaction in that anymore. Is anybody beside myself know what I'm talking about? God is weaning us off lesser things, and he's making the things of the kingdom, things of eternity, amen, our desire, our passion. We're on a march here. We're on a race. And we're looking at the finish line. We're saying, I'm going to finish. If I have to drag across that finish line, amen, I'm going to get across that finish line. I've been on some races, have you? And I've dragged a few across a few, but I never wanted to be the one. When I was in the Army, they called it the sick, lame, and lazy truck. That was a truck, you know what I'm talking about, Paul, that they came up behind the platoon or whatever when you're running. If people fell out, they'd have to get on the truck. I was like, I ain't getting on the sick, lame, and lazy truck. They'll have to take me out on a stretcher, but I'm going to finish this race. Are you hearing me, somebody? But that's how it is. We got to have that kind of resolve that, you know what, we've committed ourselves to this. Amen? God has been so good to us. God has brought us into His family, into His kingdom. He calls us now sons and daughters. He wants to share His glory with us someday. He wants us to have an abundant welcome into His presence. Amen. He wants us to receive the prize. And so we need to say, you know what, no matter what, I'm not giving up. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to look back. I'm not going to throw in the towel. We're going to stand fast, amen, and we're going to press on until we reach the end of our race and we see Jesus. And the greatest joy will be the Lord saying to us in that day, come on somebody, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what we're looking forward to. You know, it's interesting, and Solomon also said in Ecclesiastes 7 and 10, and you know, the Lord gave Solomon exceptional wisdom because he had asked the Lord that he would have the ability to judge his people righteously, to be a good king. And he didn't ask for wealth for himself or a long life. And God blessed Solomon with those things that he didn't even ask for. He said, I'll give you wisdom more than anybody and riches beyond any man. Amen. And he said this in chapter 7, verse 10. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Has anybody beside myself, well, let's look at it in the New Living Translation. Don't look for the good old days. This is not wise. Well, I remember years ago. Well, what are you doing right now? How many know that God has something fresh, something new, something wonderful for you today? Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We come to you for life. Amen. And we come to you, Lord, your word is life to me. I want to hear your word, your instruction. How can I join myself to you and to your mission today to bear fruit in this day? Amen. It doesn't matter. We can celebrate what God has done in the past. There's nothing wrong with that. And a testimony once in a while is good. Amen. But we need to ask the question, what are we doing today? What are we doing now? Where are we going from here? Well, we're looking forward. We're looking past what we see in the natural and know that God is able to bring rain when there's no rain. We need to be like Elijah, amen, that was willing to continue to pray and send out his servant. 7 times, remember? He came back each time and said, no rain, no rain. Keep on looking. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. How many know you? We got to partner with God for his promises. God will give a promise, but then he requires his people to partner with him in prayer until that promise comes to fruition. The enemy wants to talk you out of prayer because he wants to abort the promise of God from coming in. Guys, I say, let's keep our hand to the plow. Let's keep on praying, keep on believing, amen, until we see the glory of God. Amen. Fill this place. Fill the people. Hallelujah. So I'm praying for such a move of God, such an anointing to come upon people that they're going to tremble under the fear of God. And they're going to say, God, what must I do to be saved? We know we keep on praying, keep on believing in God and his appointed time will bring about that miracle. Hallelujah. Oh, we don't know how bad it is, how bad it looks. Quit looking at how bad it looks. Look at the size of your God. No, he's on the throne. Does Jesus not have all authority in heaven and whose side are we on? The media? Not. We're on God's side, amen? We're on God's team. We're on the winning team. Our God is able. The enemy wants to shut down God's people. Guys, this is a great time right now because people are waking up. People are realizing they need help. Hallelujah. That's not a bad thing. It was me realizing that I needed help that brought me to Jesus. Come on, somebody. How many here came to Jesus because you needed some help? Every one of you, raise your hand or you're lying. Yeah, we had a sense need, amen. Something was missing, something was gone. We were empty. The things that we tried to fill ourselves up with didn't satisfy us. There's got to be more to it than this. There's got to be more to life than just shopping till you drop. I know some may argue that, but come on. There's only so many pairs of shoes you can buy, ladies. Guys, some of you know what I'm talking about here, right? There's only so many boats or guns or whatever else you can buy, right? It's not going to satisfy you like Jesus. A lot of times, guys, the reason why people keep buying and buying and buying and buying is because they're trying to satisfy themselves with something temporary. And it becomes an idol. Materialism, amen, the god of materialism. We've got to be careful. Listen, God wants us to look forward. I got to look forward too, you know. To the joyful end. You know, when I was doing this, that song came to me when I heard that joyful end. And this is one of my favorite old hymns, way before my time, but it's called Be Still My Soul. And in verse 2 and 3, I'm not going to quote the whole song, but I wanted to share verses 2 and 3. Hear what it says. Be still, my soul. Thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul. The waves and winds still know. His voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joy is restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. We need to be patient in the process, patient in our race. Hebrews 10:36, Paul says, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Guys, the enemy is trying to detour you from doing the will of God because he's a thief. And he wants to rob you of your God-given inheritance. Are you hearing me, somebody? In verse 37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to destruction or perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. James 5 and verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. What is the motive of our patience? It's the promised return of the Lord to gather us to himself. Remember, guys, our troubles are only temporary. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. We need to look beyond the moment, this present time, even where we're at right now. You know, the devil wants to get us preoccupied at staring at what's happening right now. The devil wants to preoccupy your mind with looking backwards and dwelling on your past and dwelling on how you've been victimized and how you were forsaken or picked on or put down. And the devil wants to preoccupy with things that were, even sometimes the good things that we accomplished in the past, so that we can just talk about the good old days and our accomplishments in the good old days. But what about today? What about the future? Where are we going? Where are we going from here? Well, we're moving forward. We can't sit. We can't sit and soak and sour, amen, as some say. We need to stay fluid with the Spirit of God. We need to move with God. We've been given opportunity. We've been given a season of opportunity, amen, to make a difference in this world. God has called you and I to partner with Him and be world changers because God wants to work through our lives to effect change in the earth realm. It's time for the church to wake up. When the church is awoken, when the church, amen, everybody else is awoke right now, how about the church waking up, right? Amen, and being the salt and being the light, being the influence in this world because God wants to show the world His glory. He wants to reveal His glory. And so we stay to the course. We stay, amen, we're in a race and we have to run to win. You can't get off this race. You can't get on the sick, lame, and lazy truck. You need to stay the course, amen, and know that the Lord will give you the grace. He will give you the ability to overcome, amen, and finish your race with joy. Because we're not looking to ourselves to do this. We're trusting in the Lord. We're trusting in His grace and His power, amen, to enable us to do the will, the mission of God, not to be distracted, not to be deterred, but to keep our eyes on the prize. Hallelujah. We're looking at You, Jesus. A farmer needs to wait patiently for the harvest. You know, when a farmer goes out, how many have grown gardens, right? You go out and you sow your seed with an expectation of a return. You go out and you water appropriately, right? How many know there's times, there needs to be dry times too, if you've ever grown anything. How many know you can overwater? God is a perfect farmer. He knows exactly what we need in our lives to bring forth fruit. And sometimes, guys, we don't like the dry times, but the dry times are necessary. But also, when you are thirsty, when you are dry, it's going to create in you a desire and a hunger for Him. Amen. And in God, in His season, He gives us what the refreshing that we need so that we can flourish, so we can bear fruit. So a farmer has to go out and sow in hope that someday there's going to be a return on his investment, on his labor. Come on, somebody. God has called us to partner with Him to, amen, be about His business. Sowing in faith, whether you see anything here and now, it doesn't matter. Many in Hebrews 11 that had gone before had not received the promises in their lifetime. But they saw beyond the moment and they saw that what I do now will eventually come back. Even if I'm not here to see it, I know that my labor in the Lord is never in vain. Keep your hand to the plow. Keep looking forward. Don't get bogged down and the algorithms, that's a word, of the devil today, to cry to sow discouragement and fear and worry and hopelessness, to get people to shut down and to give up and to quit living. He's a thief. He wants to take life. God wants to impart life. He wants to give us life and life more abundantly, yes. That's our heart. That's our God's heart, amen. So we need to continue doing what God has told us to do. And again, in verse 7, he says, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Now, guys, remember, as much as we'd like it to be this way, the farmer does not reap on the same day he sows. Sometimes there's a long waiting period. And that's when we really need to stay the course and be faithful in season, out of season, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Come on. Because it says there first needs to be the early rain. And what does the early rain do? Well, the early rain was to germinate the seed. And then at the end of the season would come the latter rain. And this latter rain is needed to bring the crop to successful fruition. So the first rain is to germinate the seed, amen? And the latter rain is to bring in the harvest, to cause it to bloom and to rejoice. Amen. And so we see in Acts chapter 2 where God poured out his Holy Spirit on the early church. Amen. And they begin to move. Hallelujah. And they begin to move out and spread out with the gospel. Amen. As they ministered by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be baptized with the power of God to be effective witnesses. Amen. And so there, if you read the book of Acts, you'll see that that was not the only time, that was the initial outpouring, but that was not the only time when God had sent this refreshing from heaven. And other times they were being threatened, amen, by the unbelievers. And so what did they do? They all prayed and say, Lord, grant that we may with all boldness, your servants with all boldness may speak your word. And God sent the rain again, amen. The fire of God fell again. They were all baptized in the Holy Spirit, amen. And they spoke the word of God boldly. Amen. They spoke with new tongues. That was the evidence of this. And throughout history, guys, we have seen the outpourings. And most notably in our generation or our time was, well, before us, but let's say in the last 100 years or so, Azusa Street in Los Angeles in 1906. And then there was another movement. Some of you were around for this one back in the 60s and 70s called the Jesus Movement. Amen. And then there was the Charismatic Movement. And there's been different moves of God. Amen. Throughout history, even to our present time. But in our present time, we're starting to see another wave of God's glory come into the earth. Amen. Because there's dry ground and it's crying out. Amen. For the rain of God to come. People are becoming hungry and thirsty for something greater than themselves. Amen. People are realizing, I need God. I need help. And God says, this is right where you need to be, because when you are humbled before him, now you're in position to receive from him. When you're proud and your heart is lifted up, you don't feel like you need God, so you don't pray. But God needs people who will pray in season and out of season. He needs people that will pray consistently when things are going well and when things are going difficult. Can you say amen? Because I know we have a tendency to be praying a lot more when things are difficult. But how about staying the course, keeping your hand to the plow, continuing to sow, continuing to water, continuing to pray and believe, amen, until you see the answer. And if you don't see it in your lifetime, that's where faith comes in also. You've got to see beyond this moment. Even if I don't see it in my lifetime, I know God is honoring that which I've invested in agreement to what he wants. God wants salvation to come. God wants people to be healed. He wants people to be delivered from demons. Amen? To be set free from strongholds. God wants people to be reconciled. Relationships to be restored. Amen. We agree with that. We can get together with God and say, God, I'll agree with you for that to happen. God has called you and I as a priesthood to represent his interests here in the earth. Amen. To pray his kingdom come and his will be done. Even as Elijah had to partner with God, even though he had a promise of rain, he had to pray it in. And the enemy tries to talk you out of it. You're just wasting your time. God's not hearing you. God's not going to do anything. You know, Daniel consistently prayed, didn't he, 3 times a day? But there was a 21-day delay in the spirit realm. He had no idea. But the Lord said, the day that you set your heart to seek me, the answer was already on its way. But there was a delay. But Daniel didn't know. He didn't give up. He kept on praying. Do you understand? What you sow, you will reap. Wait on God. Wait on his timing. His timing is perfect. I'm believing for a turnaround in this nation. I don't believe that God is done with America. I believe we still have a purpose as a light on a hill. Amen. And I believe right now God is taking the lid off and exposing all the corruption. And the world is even looking and say, what in the world just happened? We're going to believe God for a turnaround. God will deal with Jezebel. God will deal with the prophets of Baal in his time. We simply need to wait on God now, call on him. Things are out of our control, but they're not out of his control. So we just need to get in alignment with him who's in control. And we will have stability in our own lives. And even though people around you may be shaken, you should not be shaken because you have a foundation that is steadfast and sure. Jesus Christ is the foundation of our life. He is the one that will stabilize us and keep us through it. Amen. It doesn't mean that we won't have moments of being shaken. It means that we're not going to be shaken to the place where we fall over. Amen. And die. But God, through the shaking, will cause our roots to grow deep into Him. We'll become stronger. Your troubles are only here to make you strong. Come on. Some of the strongest people you meet are people that have been through something, that had to contend and work through something. Are you hearing me? Not people that always had it easy. You know, you're cream puff Christians. But God wants His people to be strong. And we need to rely on, trust in, even in the good times, guys. Because you know what? The enemy studies us, doesn't he? He looks for opportunity. Go ahead and get lax. Go ahead and get complacent. Go ahead and just let yourself go, as they say. Whoa, they really let themselves go. But that's what the enemy does. He tries to lull you to sleep. He tries to talk you out of your mission. He tries to create a scenario in your mind that makes it look so bad and so impossible. Why even fight anymore? A lot of people say, well, why even try anymore? Are you hearing me? That kind of sounds like Israel in the wilderness, doesn't it, a little bit? God had given them a promise, and some are saying, it's better to go back to Egypt. I keep saying this, guys, and I really sincerely mean this. I believe this is what God is saying, is He's looking for a Joshua generation, a Caleb generation. Somebody's going to rise up and say, we're going to partner with God. We're going to believe God. We're not going to listen to all that fluff and all the stuff the enemy's trying to sow into us, the doubt, the fear, the unbelief, you know, painting a picture of darkness and hopelessness. Man, we've got the light. You don't have dark days. I remember I shared that with you. Brother spoke that to me. I never forgot it. It was a prophetic word, and he said, and God said, you don't have dark days because you have the light. So we light up the night. Get your mind, amen, on things above, where Christ is. Set your affections on things above. Set your gaze upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't become weary in well-doing. I'm believing, are you? Guys, what's happening right now is your faith, my faith, is being tested. Are we going to crumble? Or are we going to rise up in confident assurance in our God who is able to raise the dead? God can raise America from the ashes. God can bring a reformation to this nation. God can turn things around. Do you believe that? Then we agree with Him. We pray. We seek Him. We set ourselves to His mission. Amen. To be His hands, His feet, His voice to speak into this generation. God's looking for somebody who will partner with Him. Who will go? Who shall I send? What did Isaiah say? Hear my Lord. Send me. If we have faith, we will continue to sow. Even when there doesn't seem to be anything happening. The farmer sows even when he doesn't see anything happening immediately. Again, remember there's a space of time between the sowing and the reaping. It's that in-between time, guys, where we're going to be tested. In James chapter 1, verse 2, I love this. You guys are familiar with this, but be reminded, because that's why we need to stay in the Word. It keeps us calibrated to heaven. It keeps our perspective corrected. Amen? Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider an opportunity, what? For great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance or your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing, or mature, needing nothing. So what does God want? He wants patient co-laborers. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. It brings, amen, stability in our lives. I am a lot more patient today than I was, well, let's say 10 years ago, even 30 years ago, whatever it was. I used to have a bad temper. And you know how God fixed me of that? Or is fixing me of that? Actually, if you knew me before, I feel you. Weak moments, maybe. But I tell you what, the way God dealt with my temper was through tests of my patience. So, understand that the trying of your faith is good. It produces perseverance. It will bring stability. You have to overcome it, though. You have to rely on God. Learn how to. Rely upon God for the grace for you to maintain your cool, not lose your head. Amen? Because in ourselves, we are weak. But in the Lord, we're strong. So whatever it is that you're being tested in right now, know that it's working together for your good. God wants to promote you. And you know, I've had people say, and it blows my mind because it has to be God. I've had people say, you are one of the most patient people I've ever met. And I forgot to tell you, it gives me an opportunity to say, oh, let me tell you what I used to be like. And let me tell you why I'm patient today. It's because of God. Amen. The Lord Jesus has done a work in my heart and my life. Hallelujah. I'm not a perfect man. I have my moments. Amen. But boy, I'll tell you what, like I remember Brother Phil used to wear that shirt all the time. You know, I'm not the man I used to be, right? But I'm not the man I'm going to be, something like that. You know, so God is working. We're somewhere along the road here in our journey. But God needs people that he can trust. He needs user-friendly vessels. He needs people that can handle a little flack, all right, a little opposition, and not crumble. Oh, they called me a moron. They called me a deplorable. Oh, don't go there. That's the devil's trying to shame people into compliance to what he wants. You know, God gave us a freedom to have our own opinion, to have our own views, and no man can take that away from you. As a matter of fact, we're all going to see things a little bit differently, usually based upon our gift set, the way God gifted us. That's another teaching for another day. You guys know that. But so know this. The devil wants to take away your freedom. God wants to set you free. And he called us to be free moral agents to make our own choices, our own decisions. So yes, choice, okay, belongs to us. We can choose who we're going to serve. Because love has to be consensual. Love has to be a choice. It cannot be forced. Guys, this relationship with Jesus is not an arranged marriage. I don't believe that. I believe it's that God has reached out to us in his mercy and his love. He demonstrated his love for us at the cross. He lavished his grace upon us. We received forgiveness. We received mercy and found a new beginning in him. We found that life in him is so much better than life without him. And now we want to serve him. We want to live for him the rest of our lives. We are, out of gratitude, we serve the Lord. Amen. We love God back. That's what worship is. We give him thanks. We give him praise for all his goodness and our lives. Our faith will be tested, but for the purpose of making us strong, making us stable, patient people. So the Lord has a vessel that's not going to freak out, amen, under opposition when you're on assignment for him. What is God's purpose for us? Our job is to be faithful to him and to trust him. God's timing is not our timing. We need to be patient as we wait on the Lord and continue to sow in the Spirit. Continue to water, and in God's appointed season, that which we invest will come back. Guys, I'm reminding you of something that you already know because I need to be reminded. I need to look into the Word. I need to remember what God has said to me. Amen? Because if we're not doers of the Word, we're like the forgetful man that looks at it and says, oh yeah, that's right. And then he walks away. And because he doesn't stay looking in the mirror, he forgets what he looks like. And so we need to be recalibrated through the Word of God. Amen? God has a way of adjusting things and setting things back in order and getting our perspective right. Amen. Otherwise, we're just going to get bogged down in the algorithm of the world and the negativity and the ugliness of what they're trying to project upon us, vomit on us, basically. It's the spirit of Antichrist. We need to rise above that and say, but what is God saying? We'll get a hold of God's Word. We're going to run with God's Word. Amen. And we're not going to look back. We're not going to give up in this fight. Amen. Because we know that there's a hope for us. Amen. A future for us. God has provided something better for us up ahead. We need to see past the moment and see that God has an oasis up ahead. Hallelujah. Get over this time of bitterness, this bitter pool experience we're going through right now. It's been a crazy year, yeah. God's timing is not our timing. Keep on believing for America. God is listening. Trust His timing. I'm going to finish with this. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord isn't really being slow about His promise, as some people think. Talking about His return. No, He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. The Amplified says it this way. The Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what He promises, according to some people's conception of slowness. But He is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient towards you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance. What is God doing? God is giving people an opportunity to be saved right now. 1 Peter 1:3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Why? Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God is getting us ready for eternity. God is allowing us to partner with Him, to serve Him now, with the anticipation that someday He's going to return for us. Whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him yet, believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Well, where do we go from here? We keep moving forward with our mission. Amen? Thank you, Jesus.